we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a coming from The Times, read by Charlotte Green.
There are few better Valentine's Day gifts than dinner at a top restaurant followed by a great West End show. And from just £115 per couple, it's great value for money. Offer excludes February the 11th to the 18th.
Thanks to David Earlham from Canterbury for that. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Jeremy Vine. And opposite them on my left, Andy Hamilton and Linda Smith. Jeremy Hardy, who's forced out a leaflet to prevent burglar alarm?
This is Plod and the CPS, Crown Prosecution Service. And they're telling us how to kill our burglars. Basically, homeowners are allowed to use a weapon. Tenants aren't. If you are a homeowner, you can use a weapon. Well, that assumes you can find a weapon. And as the government knows, you can't always find weapons. Sometimes they're not there and you'll have to think up a different excuse. But, if you are a homeowner, which means you're respectable property, you can beat your burglar to death with a baseball bat. But if you merely rent, like some medieval serf, you can only use a rolled-up newspaper or phone your landlord, who will send somebody round in a day or two to kill your burglar and hopefully fix the central heating, which is usually a more pressing concern for people in rented property. But they're telling us to act instinctively. I don't know how that's supposed to help. Someone kicks your front door in and you fly south for the winter. But basically, we do have license to kill. We're all 007 in our own home, which is an Englishman's castle, despite the fact that very few of us have a gift shop. But we are allowed to kill now, which is good. Presumably, the right to buy is going to help tenants get their first foot on the vigilante ladder. But, yeah, basically, the long and short of it is, you can kill your burglar and you won't go to jail.
But the thing is, Jeremy, what I find baffling is, it's so unclear. Yes, you're allowed to kill them, but you're only allowed to kill them, aren't you? I mean, if you want to do something a bit more...
Oh, you can't run around the streets with their head on a stick. As a warning to others.
Yes.
Well, it's just political correctness gone mad. People are so wasteful these days, aren't they?
I know.
I mean, couldn't they use them for... I mean, body snatching. You don't get that. People can't be bothered. They'd rather live off the state.
The Crown Prosecution Service and Association of Chief Police Officers have issued a leaflet outlining the exact amount of force householders may use against intruders. Apparently, you can only kill a burglar if you have to, not just because you want to. At this rate, fox hunters won't have any hobbies left. 2 points to Jeremy Hardy. Jeremy Vine, whose State of the Union address was taking the piece?
Whose State of the Union address? That's a tricky one. Got me there. That was George Bush, of course, newly re-inaugurated and went in front of the American people. There was a comedian in the States who recently has been making a lot of jokes about Bush and who suddenly said, maybe I was wrong. So Bush is riding on a high at the moment.
Who was that?
I think he's gone into hiding. Bush actually mentioned a number of new countries, and one of them was Syria. And Syria now is possibly central to George Bush's next idea. And it seemed, I mean, Syria for a long time has been in the coalition against terror, but it seems as a vacancy in the axis of evil. So it's been moved across. And there's also a story, a really fascinating story coming out of Washington from a journalist called Seymour Hersh, who says that American special forces have been inside Iran seeking out targets if they attack Iran so that they can be sure that they definitely don't hit the right things. So that was the State of the Union address.
But doesn't that depend how well Iran does in the playoffs against Jordan?
That's right, they're all competing now to be in the axis of evil.
I would have thought they would go for Iran because they never managed to establish a link between Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, if they go for Iran, they can link all three up with the same pipeline.
I was in Texas just before the election, and I'm fascinated, as we all are, with Mr. Bush's appeal, because all we see are the times when he makes gaffes and he says we're going into Liberia to restore chaos and all that kind of thing. And I turn on the television, and there he was live outside the White House giving a statement. I thought, I'm going to watch this closely and see what the appeal is. And he was going through the names of captured al-Qaeda leaders, and he said, thanks to coalition activities, we've caught Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we've caught Hussein Ahmed, and we've caught Rayban Bin El. Ray El Bin Ban. I'm sorry, Ray, I got your name wrong. I thought, that's the appeal. That's the appeal.
George Bush this week delivered a triumphalist State of the Union address, promising to spread peace and democracy to the world following the surprising success of last weekend's elections in Iraq. The speech went down like a bomb in Congress, and will be going down a bomb with Iran sometime later in the year. So we move on to Linda. Welcome back to the News Quiz. Who's been having a warm old time in Exeter this week?
Ah, scientists. Scientists have been having a warm old time in Exeter because there's a conference about global warming where they've actually worked out a timetable for it. So we now know, well, I now know, that in, say, 30 years from now, the entire world is officially too hot for me because I don't like it too warm. This was something, actually, I think this is something I've got from my mum, because she'd say the weather would come on the TV and to inject a bit of humour into the proceedings, the weather forecaster would say something like, and the hottest spot on Earth tonight was Riyadh, which was 130 degrees. And my mum would go, oh, too hot for me. Then, of course, we'd have to phone up Mrs. Mohammed and cancel that fortnight in August but at the Desert View guest house. But, yes, it's climate change, and it's a bit of an old worry, I suppose, really. It's a worry about the polar bears, because what can you do if you've got a great big fur coat on and you can't get it off? And now they're already thinking, because the Antarctic is shrinking and the sea's getting bigger, so you've got relatively young polar bears going, you know, when I was younger, I'm sure Antarctica was bigger than this.
It was all ice flows.
You could jump from one to another, and you could just... Now I can't... I'm too hot to eat a seal. I just want a salad, really. What worries me more is the effect on Britain. What are we going to do when, you know, the whole of Britain is living in this Mediterranean-style climate, and particularly the north of England, when there are olive groves through Manchester? Because what are northern lads going to do with this macho, I'm not cold, I'm walking about in the middle of winter in a T-shirt when it's boiling? But, you know, they'll probably just have to start wearing great big fur coats, won't they? And going, oh, God, hot, hot, it's never hot, you soft southern puff, you don't know what hot is. It's not a scarf, get a little coat on that whippet, he's freezing, look at him shivering.
It's the climate change conference in Exeter, which has seen scientists predicting dire consequences if nothing is done to halt global warming. But it's all right in Britain because John Prescott's in charge. Despite the scientists' predictions, they plan to come back to England to discuss the matter again in 2020, when they'll be based in the charming seaside resort of Leicester. Question four, Andy, listen to this. Andy, why isn't working not working for Labour?
This is incapacity benefit, is it?
2 points.
Do I get 2 points just for that? Do I get another 2 points if I do a bit more answering?
If you mention you're disabled, you can knock off now. And you can form your own theatre company and get funding.
Apparently, medical advice has changed. Apparently, in the old days, you went to your doctor, he said, I've got a bad back, it's a really bad back. He said, you've just got to lie down for the rest of your life, mate. And people would go to work and they'd say, I can't come into work anymore, I've got to lie down for the rest of my life. And people say, oh, well, that's a shame, never mind. And they would go on to incapacity benefit for the rest of their life. Now, apparently, the medical advice is, you go to the doctor, you say, oh, I've got a bad back. He says, you want to go bungee jumping. You want to stay as active as is humanly possible.
Stretch yourself.
Yeah. And so the government is attempting, because it's kind like that, to return these people into the workforce. And I'm not sure that whether people should be allowed to draw incapacity benefit as being, you know, people who aren't fit to work. I think there should be something called the incompetence benefit, whereby people who actually shouldn't work just aren't allowed to. You know, people who literally can't do the job because they're a nightmare. We could get rid of them, give them the incompetence benefit, and give their jobs to all those hard-working people with bad backs who do want to work.
What this is really about is the fact that there are, because the average, we're all getting older as a country, aren't we? We're all getting older, and there aren't enough young people. I said there aren't enough young people to support us, and so basically we're all going to be retired, and the government.
Because the trouble is, we're all getting older, and there aren't enough young people to support us.
You're not my niece. But what?
She stole my clothes.
We've got visitors. So they've already
well, they
said
can bugger off, it's time for countdown.
But they've already told us we can't retire. By the time any of us are allowed to retire, we're going to have enough remaining strength to dissolve a Werther's original. If we keep the heating up full and our mouths firmly closed. Surely it won't be long before the government is trying to force the dead back to work.
The government are overhauling the provision of incapacity benefit to encourage over 1 million claimants to return to work. One notorious extended family has swindled the government out of millions of pounds, which they've squandered on houses, castles, planes, helicopters, boats, trains and Cornwall. At the end of round one, everybody has 4 points. We start round two with an item from the Girton Parish News.
Announcement for a national prayer and fasting conference. The cost for attending the prayer and fasting conference includes meals.
It's a Debbie Quincy of Cambridge for that. Jeremy Hardy, who's going zero tolerance on the zero achievers?
It's something to do with numbers or achievement or...
This is Ofsted.
Oh,
it is. This is Ofsted.
Yes, sort of thing. Yes, it is.
This is the
Ruth, what's it?
Is this her, or is it the Ofsted report that came out and was seized upon as being proof that all our schools are, in fact, dens of thuggery and butchery? But actually, if you read it, it said that the schools were improving. If you read it in any detail, which obviously the journalist didn't want to do. But I'm a bit puzzled. I suppose it really goes back to the old maxim, doesn't it, that... those who can do, those who can't teach, and those who can't teach become Ofsted inspectors. I mean, who audits Ofsted? Is there off Ofsted?
It's Onsted.
It's Instead.
Don't you think sort of modern teachers are missing a trick? Apparently they quite often find their classes disruptive and naughty and noisy. But you see, when I was at school, the teachers had a weapon, boredom. I don't think teachers know how to use boredom like they used to. You know, they drone on about the gross national product of Brazil, maize, corn oil. By the time you got to sort of palm oil, you were drifting off. The light smell of ink from the Gestetner,
yeah.
That would send you off a bit. So by the time it was playtime, by the time it was time for your milk, you were in a light coma. Discipline wasn't a problem, really.
Education Secretary Ruth Kelly has called for zero tolerance on classroom discipline, as Ofsted announces that unruly pupils are bringing down education standards. The Tories want to put CCTV in schools, though this may lead to more trouble as pupils spend their break times trying to get 250 quid from You've Been Framed. Jeremy Vine, whose revenues crashed this week.
Well, this was one of these classically British things, really. This was the Inland Revenue's website. I think they set up this website to enable people to file their tax returns online, and then they decided that it made it too convenient. So about 24 hours before the deadline, they started pulling the plugs in and out and crossing the wires, and there were some sparks somewhere, and everyone lost their tax returns.
Can I just say that I think the Inland Revenue do a magnificent job?
I'd like to echo that, actually.
And that if
my... Second only to the VAT.
Yes. And if my area officer is listening, the underpayment was just a slip of the pen.
The thing is, when you haven't got the money to pay the tax bill, then you get into trouble. Because the thing is about being self-employed, most of you probably don't relate to this. I suspect many of you are ordinary people, are you? Many of you have jobs. But why can't you just phone up and say, look, I spent it. And I don't know on what... I mean, I went shopping, I got a newspaper, some beans, some hummus, and that was about 40 grand. I don't know... the money's not here. I don't have the money to pay. So what's the point in fining me? Because I can't pay the fine. Can't we just draw a line under it and all move forward?
Hundreds of thousands of people who fail to file their tax returns online will be allowed 2 extra weeks to pay if their first attempt was rejected by the website. Many people still prefer to file paper tax returns because if it's properly filed, paper tax returns are much more likely to give the tax man a really nasty paper cut. Linda, your piece of music. Linda, which pictures made the Tories snap?
Oh, yes. This is these New Labour posters, which went up on the internet. And one of them was, that sort of tagline was, pigs might fly. When Michael Howard and Oliver Letwin's sums had up, pigs might fly. And it has a picture of pigs with their faces on. And they're, a bit cross about it, really, because before, no one knew who they were. And now everyone thinks they're pigs. So they're a bit sort of upset about that. And there's another one that is genuinely offensive, which has Michael Howard with a watch waving at people. So he does look very much like Paul McKenna.
But no, because the advertising agency they're using is Trevor Beattie's, who've come up with that extremely witty FCUK slogan. Isn't that
what
pathetic?
It's
like Tourette's for the squeamish, isn't it? It's pathetic.
They're saying, the Tories did that very offensive, demonised picture of Tony Blair. But, of course, the problem with that argument is that is actually a genuine photograph. That is how he looks, actually.
Labour has been accused of anti-Semitism after unveiling election posters which seem to portray Michael Howard as Fagin and as a flying pig. Labour's election chief, Alan Milburn, defended the campaign. He said the posters weren't anti-Semitic, adding that some of his best friends were Semites. Andy, who thinks the future's bright? The future's orange.
Ah, well, there's a new political party on the scene, Veritas, for Latin. Veritas.
Did you say Veritas?
Veritas.
You did on purpose, didn't you?
Veritas, from which we get the word veritable, led by Kilroy Silk. But basically, Robert Kilroy Silk is launching this new party, and he went in pretty hard on the question of immigration. I think it's very dangerous of him to start putting up arguments based on whether people are the right colour or not. Because given that he is a colour not found in nature... I think that's really dangerous.
Well, that's how UKIP split up. It was so much bickering over the sunbeds, wasn't it? He has this extraordinary face. It's so golden and crumbly. It's like his head's made out of Abbey Crunch.
He said, well, this is all very well, all this political correctness for the people in Notting Hill and London. Now... I admit, I've got an A to Z. That's how swanky and posh in London I am. But I am not ignorant enough that I would say, these people in King's Heath and Birmingham, Notting Hill is in London, Gilroy. And before you swag off city folk and media types, let's face it, you're a Brummie who's been working in television for 20 years. And he slagged off with Arabs as limb amputators. Well, at least limb amputation is something you can only go through 4 times. He was on week after flipping week. Years.
Robert Kilroy Silk this week launched a new political party, Veritas. However, all the political parties were united in claiming that Kilroy Silk doesn't know his Veritas from his elbow. At the end of round two, the Jeremys have 6 points, but Andy and Linda are well in the lead with 10. We start round three with a cutting from the Times Body and Soul section.
Golfers who lick their balls in the belief that it will make them fly faster risk liver damage.
Thanks to Dr. Murray of South Wales for that. Jeremy Hardy, who's gone up in the brainy pecking order.
Ah, birds. Birds are not as stupid as once thought. This is not an attempt in the Sun as a feminist headline. Birds are not as stupid as we thought. A swan can break your arm, which takes some ingenuity, because it needs to know how to use a hammer and catch you off guard. But they've done the Institute of Avian Somethingology has calculated that birds are actually quite bright and they can memorise 20,000 tunes, which is more than an iPod.
They haven't got a great sense of time, though, have they? They don't know the difference between 4 a.m. and the morning.
Nothing else.
If birds are so clever, why haven't grouse learnt not to fly in a straight line?
Or perhaps to stay at home on the 12th of August.
The Avian Brain Nomenclature Consortium, an international team led by Eric Jarvis of Duke University, claimed this week that birds are just as bright as many mammals, adjusting all those years and we never quite realised that emu was working Rod Hull. Jeremy Vine, listen to this. Return of the Mac by Mark Morris, and who's trying to remove the passing shadow from Macbeth?
I think I know this, because there's a Scottish Parliament thing going on with one of their MPs who believes, I think, that Macbeth has been given really too harsh a billing by Shakespeare. That's it, that Shakespeare was unfair to Macbeth, and betraying him as a bloodthirsty, ruthless murderer, and in fact he was somebody who was really having difficulties at work and some interpersonal issues, but it's all about trying to reinstate Macbeth as a nice bloke who was a victim of circumstances.
Well, it was a fair fight, apparently. Duncan died in a fair fight, like in West Side Story. And not only that, but Lady Macbeth was a devoted housewife and a dab hand at stain removal. But fact is, this is all down to the fact that Shakespeare was a bit of a crawler. He grovelled to monarchy, and he would please
because he wrote Coriolanus, which was a complete critique of Elizabethan macho politics, and then that was seen as a bit, oh dear, a bit tough, and then he had to write Midsummer Night's Dream to sort of...
Coriolanus was going to be the name of Robert Kilroy Silk's party, wasn't it?
Would have been good as well.
Only the first bit that was wrong.
No, I didn't...
Yes, the answer to the Scottish question is that historians and politicians have begun a campaign to rehabilitate Macbeth 1,000 years after his birth, claiming his reputation was unfairly maligned by Shakespeare. The experts claim he was really a genial and kindly Scottish person, rather like Charles Kennedy, only with a real chance of running the country. Linda, I'd love to ask you a question, but I'm afraid you'll have to pay me an administration fee of £100 first.
This is about Britain's favourite cons, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's one of those Channel 4 countdowns. Your 10 favourite con artists. But actually, I mean, it's all things like, you know, these Nigerian money-changing efforts and stuff like that that you get. Do you get those, Andy?
Well, I get this new one, which I'm sure... I don't know how many of you in the audience got this, which is the... you get home and there's a voice message.
No, and that's not a very... con. That's real. That's not a con. I, or a member of my household, possibly the footman...
Do you want a prize?
We've won any number of
fantastic
Spanish cruises.
I won 2 weeks at the Ritz for one person, accommodation not included.
But the cons are, I mean, the top one was the...
Independent financial advice.
Yeah.
The top pensions, that was the next one.
Another one, you give them your money to look after, and then when you want to take it out, they... Oh, no, that's banking. Is banking.
Following news that Britons lose over £1 billion a year to scams, cons and swindles, the Office of Fair Trading has published a list of our top 10 favourite frauds. The list of cons has already been attacked for missing out such notorious swindles, cons and rip-offs as stakeholder pensions, stealth taxes, speed cameras, anti-terror legislation, ID cards, the Child Support Agency, Foundation Hospitals, the Millennium Dome and John Prescott. Andy, which houses would you need to have a screw loose to build?
Oh, I know this one. They don't know.
Jeremy.
They don't know.
Jeremy,
we do.
We're just trying to build a bit of tension.
Somebody answer the pleading question.
I will.
All right, listen.
I'll accept pity. I'm not proud. It's IKEA houses. In future, your burglar will only need an Allen key. And your whole house will be gone.
And it's something to do with solving the housing crisis in the southeast. And there was a quote from somebody saying that this is designed, these flat pack homes are designed for people who can't get on the ladder. And I was thinking, that's going to be a problem, isn't it?
But it's going to be, it's not going to work. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of homeless people standing around, scratching their heads, saying, well, I can't build this house, I don't know.
They call it self-assembly. I call it broken shopping.
IKEA are launching a flat pack house to meet the demand for affordable housing. The IKEA house is known as Boklocks, and a row of IKEA houses is known as a complete load of Boklocks. And before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy Hardy.
Thank you. Now, this one was texted me by my friend Donna, who lives in St Margaret's down your way.
That's
so.
Right, yes.
And she saw this in, this is a room to let advert in the shop window in St Margaret's, and it said, room to let in house with washing machine, microwave, oven and kettle in kitchen. £80 per week.
Jeremy Vine.
Well, this is amazing. It's been sent in from the Liverpool Echo, and it's a letter from somebody trying to get in touch with someone in their past, and it says this. I was born and bred in Liverpool, but I left there about 1957. However, I've always wondered if anybody who went to school at Sudbury Road in Agba remembers the time the chimpanzee escaped from the nearby zoo. I must have been about seven, so it must have happened in about 1934. Our class was outside in the playground doing PE when suddenly a chimpanzee appeared. Our teacher, a Mr. Gaunt, grappled with a chimpanzee so that we could get away to safety. I've always thought this was a marvellous thing to do, and as a consequence of this, he was awarded the British Empire Medal.
I think Paul McCartney did take drugs in the 60s.
Linda.
Oh, my thanks to Doug Lowe, who sent me this from the North Devon Journal. It just proves that the national papers don't get all the big scoops. Under the headline, Car Blaze. Firefighters were called to a car in Mill Street, South Moulton, on Saturday. The vehicle was ablaze in the Mill Street car park and was left severely damaged. Divisional officer Phil Drew said, there were no suspicious circumstances and arson is not being investigated.
Andy.
Right, this is from Beth Geraghty. A German motorist was arrested in Holland yesterday when traffic police found a Shetland pony in the back of his Volkswagen Polo. Dutch police reported, the small Shetland pony had no room to move and his head was pressed against the window. The statement also noted that a female passenger was sharing the back seat with the horse, holding its rope.
Let's look at the final score. The Jeremys have 14, but this week's winners are Andy and Linda with 18 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Time Encounters page sent in by John Dutton.
Happy, tall, athletic, health professional, 50. Loves pubs, meals and dog walks. Seeks happy woman to shave and laugh with.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Jeremy Vine, Linda Smith and Andy Hamilton. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark, Paul Carenza and Roderick Crooks. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.